The Nature Podcast is supported by Nature Plus, a flexible monthly subscription that grants immediate online access to the science journal Nature and over 50 other journals from the Nature portfolio. More information at go.nature.com/plus.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, Nick Petridge Howe here, coming to you somewhat unusually on a Thursday. We have departed from our usual schedule to bring you a special report about some work in Nature that has only been published today, along with a few accompanying papers in Science. And it's all about social media. I'm sure that you're familiar with the idea that social media can polarise people, with impacts on everything from politics to family gatherings. But how much are these sites really impacting our views? Reporter Adam Levy has been finding out.
From MySpace to TikTok, social media has changed the way we connect with those around us, allowing us to do everything from stay in touch with old friends to form new bonds across the globe. But simultaneously, social media could also divide us. This possibility is known as social media polarization.
The idea mostly is that by using social media, people become either more extreme in the policy attitudes or political preferences that they have, or that they become more judgmental and more stereotyped about the political outgroups that they're not a part of.
This is political scientist Jamie Settle. She and collaborators have a study out in this week's Nature, and there'll be more on that study and the unusual team behind it in a moment. Now, connected to concerns of polarization on social media is the notion of echo chambers. This is the idea that we naturally surround ourselves with like-minded views, which could be exacerbated by social media, meaning that we rarely hear differing opinions. And as social media has become a bigger and bigger part of our lives, many researchers have become concerned that echo chambers and polarization on these platforms could be having profound impacts.
That could not only affect how we communicate on those platforms themselves, but also the attitudes that we develop towards each other and our political preferences. And that could leak then back into the real face-to-face world with implications for the way we vote and even the way that we interact with our fellow citizens.
But the truth is that while there has been plenty of speculation on how widespread echo chambers are and the impact on our views and our actions, such questions have been hard to answer. But now, researchers from Meta, the parent company of Facebook, and independent US researchers like Jamie have teamed up to try to provide some solid evidence.
So this was a very exciting collaboration to be a part of, and this project has been more than 3 years in the making.
So what did this collaboration find? Well, the first question the team asked was just how prevalent echo chambers are on the social media platform Facebook.
We were able to use observational data from the entire population of active adult Facebook users. That was about 231 million users. Most people see most of their content from like-minded sources. But at the same time, a much smaller proportion of users get the vast majority of their content from like-minded sources. We think that this idea of the fact that, you know, there's rampant echo chamber problems on social media is overblown. That people, yes, are seeing a lot of content from sources that share their point of view, but it's not the overwhelming majority.
This result gives a sense of the information we receive on Facebook. But what about the effects that this information has on us? Well, the team investigated that too, running a 3-month test with over 20,000 Facebook users during the 2020 US election, where they changed the content that those people received.
And we were able to reduce their exposure to this information from like-minded sources by about 1/3. But it didn't have any of the anticipated effects on changing people's attitudes that are really the driving concern of this echo chamber problem.
So profoundly changing the algorithm and so the content that Facebook users received at this crucial political moment did not profoundly or even measurably alter the attitudes of the participants. This is tough news for those who had thought that such tweaks to social media could heal deep divides in societies. Social and behavioral scientist David Garcia, who wasn't involved in the study, was taken aback by these results.
So first, of course, I was like disappointed. So I had more hope for what an algorithm could do on a person's attitudes. But then when I thought more about it and trying to change their attitudes just because the algorithm is different, it's a bit of wishful thinking. And we did have this wishful thinking before, and this experiment is showing us that the algorithm only does so much, and solutions that go through the technology alone and only through changing the algorithms are not going to make the society less polarized. We need more than that.
As surprising as these results are, though, David remains impressed by just how robust the study is.
So if you ask me a while ago whether an actual collaboration like this between academics and Facebook was going to be successful and they will actually get to publish something like this, I didn't believe it. I always thought that the company will have an issue with this. I don't know how could this be done better, honestly.
And this collaboration has done a host of other work. Some, Jamie tells me, is still to come later this year. But the team are also publishing studies in the journal Science at the same time as this Nature study.
Two of them are similar experiments in the sense that they changed the algorithm, and that one also didn't have an effect on polarization. So there's like three possible solutions that didn't work in this case for polarization.
So these studies didn't find ways to reduce polarization. But they have their limitations. For example, the researchers deliberately targeted the 2020 US election for their investigation because of the importance of polarization to such events. But it could be that less political periods yield different results. On top of that, other social media platforms use different algorithms, which may have different effects on their users. Plus, focusing on the US may yield unusual results.
It could happen that in a place that is not so polarized, a change in the algorithm could actually have an effect. It's not far-fetched to think that the results could be different in another country.
For both David and Jamie, these results aren't saying that social media algorithms are irrelevant to causing or addressing division in society. Rather, the work indicates that there's still so much we simply don't know about social media's effects, and that healing divides may be a more nuanced task than some previously believed.
And so we're hoping that these findings, which many people will find counterintuitive, will help push the field towards better, clearer definitions of what the problem might be. There's a lot of room for further study in this area to better understand what other changes are possible and what other kinds of changes can you make on the way that users interact with and engage with content on social media that does have the desired effects on their psychology that we hope that it might.
Future work could address a host of questions about social media's impact on our lives, investigating other ways these platforms connect and divide us, or even investigating how interventions could influence the mental health of users. But to answer many such questions requires more collaborations like this one between researchers at social media companies and independent universities. So how can such unusual collaborations become far more usual?
So my first approach will be to have regulations where this is kind of mandatory for a platform. Basically, that the scientist can come with one of these questions and the platform can't really say no. and they have to fulfill a social responsibility the same way as a car company needs to have a particular tests to pass, whether they're polluting or not. A social media platform might have to pass particular tests that academics propose. There's so much that can be done with academics and not just inside the company.
That was David Garcia of the University of Konstanz in Germany, and Jamie Settle from the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg in the US, talking to Adam Levy. For more on that story, check out the show notes for some links. I'm Nick Petrichow. Thanks for listening.
The Nature Podcast is supported by Nature Plus, a flexible monthly subscription that grants immediate online access to the science journal Nature and over 50 other journals from the Nature portfolio. More information at go.nature.com/plus.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.